Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And the message is taking a twist from where it originally was prepared by me because of the Holy Ghost. So I pray that you will just be open to what the Lord wants to speak to your spirit today. But we are in a series, The Higher Life. I'd like to thank Pastor David for helping me with that series title last week. But the series title is The Higher Life. And last week's message was Your Alignment from On High. We talked about coming in line or into agreement with God and His plan for your life. This week, Your Assignment from On High. Your Assignment from On High. Matthew chapter 28, beginning really with verse 1, we will walk through this text, but I just want to read the Great Commission to you as we begin this morning. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we worship you this morning. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that speaks to us and that loves us and that gives us strength. Lord, I pray that you would move in this place. Father, you've already moved in this place through our worship, Lord, but I pray that you'd move on us as individuals, Father. Move on us that are in ministry, Lord. Speak to us, challenge us, Lord. May we step up another ring on the ladder today, Lord, as we walk to get closer to you. Lord, I pray that, Father, this church would be set apart, Father, from other churches when it comes to getting the gospel out. Lord, I pray that when people think of Truth Tabernacle, Lord, they wouldn't think of just one thing, Lord, but they would see you and how much you loved sinners, how much you loved people. And Lord, I pray that right now, Lord, that you would begin to give everyone in this building a glimpse of the destiny that you have for this place. Just a glimpse, Lord. I pray that you would give them a glimpse of what you can do here in Stone Mountain, Georgia. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I want to start this morning by saying that this is really not a personal message directed at Truth Tabernacle of Praise, because I really believe in everything that this church is doing and that we want to do to get the gospel out and that we want to do to serve this community. I think this church is set apart. This church is different from other churches in the sense that I believe it loves all people. I believe it's a diverse church. I also have seen that its passion towards the community seems to be higher than that of most churches. And so I think Truth Tabernacle is on the right road. However, we're not there yet. Somebody say amen. And I believe the church as a whole, the Christian church as a whole, is really not there yet, and that we fall completely short in our assignment that God has given us. You know, he says go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I don't believe that most churches do that. I believe we trade off church members. And we get mad and it becomes a social club. And I truly don't believe that the local church is fulfilling the assignment that God has given them. An assignment is a duty or an objective given to you by someone that's in authority over you. Okay? It's like when you're a child and you're in school, you get a homework assignment. And if you were like me, you didn't do them all the time. But God has given us an assignment, amen? We have an assignment, and it's very clear. You don't have to have a PhD to understand it. You don't have to be a reverend, minister, bishop, doctor to understand it. It's to go into all the world and tell people about what Jesus Christ has done for you. It's not a commission for just a select few. It's a commission and an assignment from on high that's available to all and that is for every one of us. So I want to talk about where I believe the church is failing. This will sound very negative, but it will get positive if you'll bear with me. The first thing I'd like to talk about is a superficial strategy. a superficial strategy. The first, the idea that most churches have when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission, getting the gospel out, is a very superficial strategy. And by that I mean, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but when you think of sharing the gospel or serving people and getting the good news of Jesus Christ out, do you look at the people that you witness to or that you evangelize to different than you'd look at your own family? And what I mean by that is, many times in church, our evangelistic programs and our outreach programs become about serving the poor, and we look at these people like they are less than we are, and that we want to take just one day out of our week or 2 days out of our month, and we say, well, we're going to go help these poor people, or excuse me, we're going to go help these black people, or we're going to go help these other kinds of people. And let me tell you something, friend, if any church is looking at people different than they are themselves, if they look down on the people that they're witnessing to or evangelizing to, friend, that's wrong, and that's why churches are divided. That's why churches aren't growing. I came here to preach to you this morning. But I am very tired of churches, and I've seen it done, and sometimes I don't even think churches mean to do it. But we look at our evangelistic programs, our outreach program, as some kind of work or help for needy people. And it is that. That's a huge part of what we do. But they're not needy people. They are people. I don't care if they're what color they are, what their background is. We are all unholy and unrighteous compared to the white righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, again, this is not a criticism of Truth Tabernacle, but I do think the church as a whole looks at their outreach program, many of them, as a way to help people that are less than them. And if it's a way to make people feel better about their self. And if we can go, and I've seen it in soul winning programs over the years, back home, there would be a select few, and what they would want to do, especially back in the 80s, was go to the inner city or go to the trailer parks or go to the real poor area and go for just a day or two and, man, feel real good, see some people pray a prayer, but then go back to your church and you never see those people again. You don't know where they are. You don't know if they're on drugs. You don't know if they've been kicked out. And friend, with evangelism, you must have a consistent presence in your community, loving people. It must be genuine. And it doesn't say just go preach or just go share or just go feel good for a day. It says to make disciples out of all nations. Friend, you can't just get someone to pray a prayer and expect everything to be okay. You better hug that person. You better clothe that person. You better bring that person to church. And you may have to get a bus, Pastor Darrell, and you may have to pick kids up, and you may have to love them, and you may have to find a way to feed them. Because let me tell you something, it's more than just praying a prayer. It's more than just going through a religious activity. You've got to spend time with people, amen, and you've got to disciple them. Somebody say amen. But there's a superficial strategy, and it deals with cowardly comparisons. Cowardly comparisons. The first thing we never want to get into as a church is comparing ourselves with another church. You know, I'm tired of that. God has called each church to fulfill the Great Commission, but they all have a different identity. Their identity is in Jesus Christ, but we're all different. So why can't we as a church stop trying to be like every other church? What sets you apart is your uniqueness, is how you're different than other churches. But what I see a lot of times is churches want to be like the one down the road. Their goal is to be like this church, or their goal is to be like that church, and that's where we fall short. We cannot and we must not compare ourselves and what we do fulfilling the Great Commission to someone else, because we are not in competition. We are on the same team. Amen? So we must not compare ourselves to other churches. We must compare ourselves only to the white righteousness of Jesus Christ. Next, and you've heard me rant on this before, so I won't spend long here, but we must not compare ourselves to other people. We don't compare ourselves to other people. Sure, if someone is hooked on crack, you may think that you're holier than they are. But the truth is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If someone has been through a divorce and you haven't, you may think, well, friend, I'm more holy than they are. But friend, let me tell you something. None of us are holy except for Jesus Christ, and we are only holy through His shed blood on that cross. So you must not and you cannot judge other people or compare yourself for a good gut feeling that helps you sleep at night that someone else has it worse off than you. Because friend, we are to be in unity. Superficial strategy. Next, a standard set. There's a standard set in the Great Commission. And also in Mark 16, beginning with verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And let's stop right there with verse 15. He doesn't say bad news, does he? He said, let's go and let's preach the good news. Why don't we stop trying to tell people how sorry they are and then lead them to the Lord? It says good news. And that's why if you ever attach yourself to a ministry or a church or a pastor or a preacher that gives good news, they're going to come under attack. Watch it for yourself. The pastors, the preachers, even the ones on television that consistently give good news, they come under attack. Why is that? Because let me tell you something. If you go tell somebody that God loves them and that He'll forgive them and He'll restore them and He will use them and He has purpose for them, they are more likely to receive you and love you back and listen to what you say than if you go up and go through the Ten Commandments and spend 40 minutes telling them how they're going to hell. All right. Now there is a hell. And if you don't know Jesus, you will go there. And there's nothing I can do to change that. But I do believe that as a believer and as a Christian, I do believe we can give good news before we give bad news. Amen? Standard set. It says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It's a saturation effort. We're to saturate every person we come in contact with, every person we meet on the street, every person that's a part of our life, regardless of what they look like, where they're from. We are to tell everyone about Jesus. It's a saturation effort. Saturate everyone with the good news of Jesus Christ. How many of you don't talk about Him at all? This is your getaway once a week to worship, to pray, and have your quiet time with the Lord. But out in your world, you never speak about Him to other people. If that's you this morning, you need to be under conviction. You need to repent this morning, and you need to make a better effort to tell people about your faith and what God has done for you. Be bold. We live in a world where no one wants to talk about Jesus. No one wants to take a stand for Jesus. We want to eliminate prayer. We want to do all these things. But let me tell you something. I don't care what the laws say. If God lives in you, He will do a great work through you. There's a standard set. It's a saturation effort. Next, it's a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual experience. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you'll notice, when I pray over you most of the time or over this house, this is something that wasn't taught to me. It's just something that I've always been passionate about. I try to end my prayers with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can call it the Catholic in me or whatever you want to do. But I try to end, when I speak a blessing over you or when I speak purpose into you, I try to end that with the Trinity. Because I believe that it's very important that when you're speaking into someone's life that you include the Godhead. That you don't just pray in Jesus' name. You don't just pray to the Father. Now, I'm not legalistic. If you pray a different way, God's going to bless you too, okay? But as a minister, God has called me to do that. He spoke that to me, that I'm to pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as we fulfill the standard that's set by God, We must understand that it's a saturation effort, but it's a spiritual experience. You can have every verse memorized. You can have a six-point plan. You can know about the person you're speaking to, what neighborhood they grew up in, how much money they have, their family background, their ethnic background. You can have all that figured out. But if you don't go in there with the full armor of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, friend, you can forget sharing your faith. Because let me tell you something, it's a spiritual experience. To fulfill the Great Commission, you must be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I mean, you can be the most intelligent person in the world, but I tell you, what changes lives is the Holy Spirit. It still changes lives. It still convicts. And when you go up with someone and you are sincere and you just tell them under the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus loves them, that he wants to accept them into his womb and they can identify with him, let me tell you something, friend, that still works. If you're sincere, it still works. It works better than a church program. It works better than anything that we can conjure up in the flesh. The Holy Spirit will give you the exact words to say. If that person is lost and God has called you to that person, you will walk up and the Holy Spirit will go. Because when you take a step, God matches your step. And if you'll step out on faith and begin to share your faith, God will meet you halfway. Next, it's a sign-filled explosion. The standard that was set, it's a saturation effort. It's a spiritual experience, but it's a sign-filled explosion. And if you were raised Baptist like me, this is very hard for them to explain. But Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And in the King James it says will be damned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, I'm not saying we're going to start handling snakes in here next week. But what the scriptures mean right there is this. That as you walk through, you have to understand they lived in the wilderness. You know, they weren't handling snakes like they do in Rainesville, Alabama, near Chattanooga. I'm just kidding. I have a youth pastor that's a friend there. Hopefully he won't listen to this. But it meant protection. You go through the wilderness, you live. If you need to, as Paul said in the New Testament, a snake, he just shook it off. He shook it off. He got bitten. He just shook it off. Amen. You will be able, because you're walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, it may be an actual snake that may attack you, or it may be a demon manifested through another person. I don't know what it is, but let me tell you something, friend. If you're walking in the Holy Ghost, there is protection for you. And also, you can lay hands on people, and they will get healed. They will get healed. Not every one of them. Not in my way or my understanding, but I believe if you step up under the power of the Holy Ghost and you lay hands on your sick friends or your sick family members and you believe, I believe God will heal them. Now, it may not happen on this earth. It may be in heaven, but he'll still do it. Amen. We must believe that he will do it. We must believe that he will do it. Finally, and now I'm getting into the positive. Well, not yet. It's a standard not yet met. It's a standard not yet met. We are not where we need to be as a church. And I hate to be the one to break that to you. But if every person in this room today, every person in this room would lead one person to Jesus, within the next 2 months, we would double our attendance. One person. If you could bring one person, and I don't care. You know, a lot of people, well, do you believe in God? Well, I go to this church. No, I don't care what church you go to. Do you know Jesus? If every person would invite one person to know Christ into this church, we could double our attendance before the fall. If everyone would invite two people to come to know the Lord and to be faithful here at Truth Tabernacle, we would triple. And you know, I've seen people in this body that have led four or five people to the Lord since I've been your interim pastor. I've seen a youth ministry grow out of nothing. So I know that God can do something supernatural, but He can't do it if we're unwilling to do what He's asked us to do and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Quickly, I want to go through Matthew 28 with you. God gave me a download last night. That's the negative. And God said, this is what you need to go about. If you want to fulfill your assignment from on high, if you want to fulfill the duty and the objective that God has given you, I want to tell you how you can do that. God said, don't just lash out and whip them. Tell them how they can succeed. And I believe God has given me a pretty unique word on that. We're going to read some of Matthew 28, but not all of it. We're going to start with about verse 9. Well, we'll start with verse 1, but I'm going to skip around a little bit because it's not important that we read this entire text, but I just want you to know where I'm going. Listen up, this won't be long. I want you to pay attention. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. Everybody say seek. Seek. Say seek one more time.
Seek.
Okay. Seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples. Everybody say go.
Go.
And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. The women in verse 9 see him, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. He met them on their way to do what he had asked them to do. On their way to fulfill their assignment from Jesus, he met them. They had received an assignment from on high, delivered by an angel, and guess who met them to help them get the job done? His name is Jesus. If you have an assignment that's bigger than you are, there's a man that can help you fulfill that this morning, and his name is Jesus. Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came, held him by the feet, and worshiped him. Some of you, you don't love him enough to worship him, so there's no point in me telling you what your assignment is because you don't love him enough to even worship him. Because if you loved him enough to worship him, holding your hands up, falling down on your face, giving your tithe wouldn't be such a stretch. Because if you won't worship him, then you won't fulfill your destiny. You won't fulfill the assignment that God has given you if you have not worshiped him. If you've not spent some time with them, if you're worried about what everybody thinks, I thank God for the altar call we had this morning when Pastor David opened the altar. People came on their face before the Lord, people that weren't ashamed of what people think. It's time, some of you need to get on your face before the Lord this morning. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell. Somebody say, go and tell.
Go and tell.
That's the second go. My brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Verse 11 through 15 is the bribery. We're not going to go there. We're going to fast forward to the Great Commission. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. They were given an assignment. They were given specific instructions, and friend, they had to follow that. You know, everybody thinks everything is a spiritual experience, but sometimes to get a fresh touch, to have a spiritual experience, to be filled and touched by God, you must first do the natural. Follow the simple instruction, the simple first step, so that you can receive the miracle that God has for you. But a lot of times, those of you who are extremely spiritual, you just want to be up in the clouds all the time, and you forget to take that first step and do what He's asked you to do. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Everybody say some.
Some.
Some doubted. Some doubted. Over in Matthew 16. Everybody say some one more time. Lord, help me. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? I don't care what some say about him this morning. I'm not interested in what some people say about him. I'm not interested in the opinion of some. I want to know, and God wants to know this morning, what you think about him. What do you believe about him? What has he done for you? And if he's truly done something for you, friend, then why aren't you telling people about it? Why aren't you sharing your faith? I'm not interested in who some say he is. First, I want to talk to you. I got three things I want to close with this morning. Three things. These aren't in the PowerPoint. Bobby, I'm sorry. God just speaks to me and I messed the whole thing up, brother. You have to forgive me. First thing's the perspective. You want to receive and fulfill your assignment from on high, you must have the right perspective. And first, this perspective that I'm speaking of, that I'm going to begin with here, is a feminine perspective. You see, these two women had some kind of something going on, didn't they? I mean, even at the worst, they still believed enough to want to see it, to want to see him. They still mourned enough to want to take a few steps, to take a journey to meet with Jesus, to see what happened. See, some of you will take the negative report of the devil or some fool, and you'll just give up. But these women didn't give up, did they? They had the right perspective, and it was a curious perspective. A curious perspective. I read about Thomas Edison, and they said when Thomas Edison, who invented the phonograph, and he also invented the light bulb. They said when he was a young elementary student, his teacher was a reverend, and back then you'd teach all the kids, and he was actually a pastor, but the pastor was really mean to him and told him, they told his mother that he could not learn. And because all he ever wanted to do was ask questions, he was horrible in math. Can you believe that? He was horrible in math, and he would not be quiet long enough to let the teacher instruct and teach the other kids. And so his mother took him out of school after many discipline issues and took him home, and he began to tinker with things in the basement. His dad thought he was crazy, but he was curious. He was curious. And let me tell you something. You must be curious like these women were, like Mary Magdalene was. You must be curious about what's happened. You must be curious about the things of God. You can't just be curious about the things of God. Be curious about the spiritual gifts. Be curious about His Word. Be curious about the history of it. Be curious about His destiny for you. Be curious about what He says, what He's saying today, and what He said yesterday, and what He's going to say tomorrow or next week. Be curious about His triumphant return. Don't just lie dormant, waiting for your life to end. Do something. Do something. Be curious. These women were curious in their search for truth. I want to encourage you this morning to be curious in your search for truth. Next, they were curious in their search for the things of God. They were curious in their search for purpose. If you're willing to receive a negative report, or you're willing to just take life as it is and never strive for anything more or never do anything more than what you're doing right now, friend, you're not honoring God. I don't care how old you are. You could be 7 or 77. God ain't through with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. And if you will connect with Him, abide with Him, He will bless you and He will speak to you. But the first thing is you must have the right perspective, and it's a curious perspective. You must have the right perspective. Next, the women had the right perspective, but the disciples had to be receptive. Receptive. There was a curious perspective, but the disciples had to be certain, and they had to be receptive. Matthew 28, verse 7 says this, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." You see, they had to go to Galilee to see him. Do you understand that? They had been given an assignment, and they had to go to Galilee to see him. Many times God may tell you something simple, and you won't even obey that first step. And you wonder why your life's a mess. I promise you, there is an obvious step that you need to take if you're struggling. There is something that is so obvious, but you are playing dumb. You are. God has given you some obvious things that he's asked of you that you know that you need to do, and you're not doing them. And then you're asking God, well, what's my purpose? He's already given you a few steps to take. Take those steps this morning. They were receptive. They were receptive first to the shaking. Mary Magdalene was receptive to the shaking. Listen, there was an earthquake. Did y'all read that? There was an earthquake. You must be receptive and be willing to receive the shaking. You say, what's the shaking? It means when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It means that in your life, you may go through hard times. You may go through the loss of friends or loved ones. You may lose everything. God is going to shake you and shake you until he can use you. So you must be receptive to the shaking. Next, you must be receptive to the supernatural. I mean, you've got to understand what the disciples were going through and what Mary Magdalene was going through. They had seen him crucified. He'd been buried. And the women have seen an angel. And now the disciples have seen Jesus. And they also worship him. But you know what? They wouldn't have worshiped him if they were not able to receive it. You know, because there are people who saw Jesus up from the grave that didn't receive it. There are people that know he's alive today that don't receive him. Do they? That don't accept him. Throughout history, there have been people, even though there's documented evidence, even though it stands in history, don't receive Jesus for who he is or what he's done. So you must be receptive to the shaking. You must be receptive to the supernatural. And next, you must be willing to receive your Savior. If you want to fulfill your assignment from on high, you want to receive it and fulfill it, you must have the right perspective. Like the women did, they were curious. But you also have to be receptive. That means this morning you open your heart to Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've got sin in your life, if you've made some mistakes, if you have failures, and you've never asked God to take those and forgive you and fill you up, friend, then that's the first step for you. And I'm telling you, just as the angel told the women, if you want purpose in your life, ask Jesus into your heart. Just like they told them to go to Galilee, I'm telling you, if you want to fulfill your assignment and have purpose, ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to save you and live in you this morning. And if you will do that, friend, that is the first step. And just like when the women started journeying to tell the brethren, Jesus will meet you. He will meet you and he will help you fulfill all that God has for you. But you must receive the Savior. The next thing about the women and the disciples, we've said the women had a curious perspective. The disciples had to be certain and receptive. But also, to close, your assignment from on high. If you're going to do it and you're serious about it and God's speaking to you this morning, you must be committed and relentless. These men gave their life for the cause of Jesus Christ so that we could worship freely today and worship God, these disciples. Many of them died for the cause. And the last thing that I believe God wants out of me as a pastor or any believer is some kind of just cotton candy stuff. This is a serious matter. It's heaven or hell. It's eternity. We must be committed. They were committed to the task at hand. See, they didn't get ahead of themselves. Many of you have such a big vision that you fail to take the necessary steps to get there. The first thing in fulfilling the Great Commission, in sharing your faith, and getting involved, in living outside of yourself, you must take care of the task at hand. That first step, we've talked about that. Be committed to the task at hand. Next, be committed to the task from on high. You say, Pastor Ronnie, I don't know how I'm going to witness. I don't know how I'm going to share my faith. I don't know how I'm going to get outside the box and make a difference in my community. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do those things. I don't have a clue. You want to know how? The Holy Ghost. That's how. You want to know how this church can grow? The Holy Ghost. You want to know how someone can come off drugs and be sitting in the front row of this church? How? The Holy Ghost. You want to know how God can use somebody like me? The Holy Ghost. You want to know how God can restore marriages? The Holy Ghost. You want to know how God builds churches? The Holy Ghost. You want to know how God pays the bills at Truth Tabernacle? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You must be committed to the task at hand. You must be committed to the task, your assignment from on high. Finally, you must be committed to the truth from His Word. The truth from His Word. The disciples had the Word. They had the experience. But they had to put those things into action. There are many of you that know the Word. Some of you are even raised in church. Some of you have good parents, some of you teenagers, some of you don't. But we're all the same. And God has a calling on your life, and He has an assignment for you. And this morning, I want to know as your pastor whether you're going to accept it. Please bow your head and close your eyes.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, at truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.